This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
The first step to getting better is to admit to God that you're a whore.
How can I be a whore if I don't have anybody to do it with?
It's a frame of mind, okay? It just is.
Sweet 16 again, or nearly for some. This is the Cubby House Show 16. Hello and guten Tag.
I'm Jack.
I'm Ryan.
And I'm Cookie. This week we're going to be talking about, first of all, rebutting some of the things we have said in some previous podcasts.
I've been a controversial boy.
You naughty, naughty boy. You have to be disciplined.
Woohoo.
Yeah. Do it to Andrew Bolt first. He probably needs it more than I do.
Well, I don't know. We can't exactly roll the dice with him, so.
Oh.
Obviously there not, will, because there's lots of lights and stuff happening, so.
There will be no interruptions, thank you. Also, later in the show, we'll be talking about, well, it's a, would this be a morality section? A health-related section? An etiquette-related section? I'm not sure.
Scruples
question.
I'd go ethical.
Ethical. And what is our ethical question?
Should a friend step in where STIs are involved with a playmate of theirs?
Controversial.
Yeah.
We're also going to be talking about manscaping. You know, should you cut your hair? Should you shave it? Should you wax it? What should you do about those pesky chest hairs and whatnot?
And we're also going to be continuing a bit of a response with the Cubs Out Loud boys in relation to the...
Relation.
in relation to the love-hate relationship that Ryan and Griff have got on the airwaves.
We don't have a hate relationship.
It's purely love.
It is.
You hate that you're not closer together.
Yeah, absolutely. Griff, you're the one that I want. You are the one I want.
But first, we're going to talk about what we learned in the past week. All that and more on the Cubby House podcast this week. On the Cubby House podcast, we're all living people. We're on the process
Thank
of living and dying. And in the process, we're going to learn a few things. And in this segment, a new one, it's called What Did We Learn in the Past Week? And we're going to start off with Cookie.
I learnt that after 3 months of having to work flat out, it's wonderful not to do anything every morning for the first 4 days of your days off.
Right. Anything else?
That and I know how to unclick popped ribs.
Oh, well, that is a bit of a pickup line, that.
Oh, yeah.
So, can I uncrack your ribs for you? Your cracked ribs brings all the boys to the yard.
So, Mr. Ryan O'Ryan,
mm-hmm.
What did you learn in the past week?
It's not a very interesting thing that I learned, but I was worried about, you know, turning 27. I just had my 27th birthday, you know, so thank you. I'll give you my email address. Everybody can send their presents there and
Do
whatnot.
Do you want 27 kisses, 27 hugs, 27 spanks? I mean, my grade...
to all of the above.
My grade 2 teacher offered me all those options at birthdays. I think most of the time people went for the 6 claps.
Mm.
But there was always the option for spankings.
Mm.
That's all right. We'll hang around once Jack's left and we'll make sure you get 27 of everything.
Now we're talking. Well, I was worried because, you know, 27, that's 4 syllables now. And I was like, oh, God, I sound old. And then I realized 30, that's 2 syllables. That kind of sounds better, but it's actually not. So I'm enjoying my youth. That's what I learned. And Jackson?
I learned 3 things this week.
Wow.
3 whole things, which doesn't seem an awful lot, considering that I'm a student.
Well, I was going to say, considering, you know, you learn something every day, you must have been asleep a few days. Hibernating already.
First of all, maple syrup and bacon.
Ah!
Oh, my God.
I actually taught you this.
It's like a fusion of brilliance.
Those Canadians have got it going on.
Yes, I went to a particular pancake serving place that happens to serve pancakes at midnight on a Saturday night. And I ordered the Canadian pancakes, which happens to include the pancakes and the bacon and the eggs. And I think there's also
it's like a banana or pineapple,
which is a bit odd considering I don't think that bananas or pineapples are even native to Canada.
No.
But the point still stands that you try and eat the pancakes with the maple syrup and you're bound to get it all over your plate. So there's a bit of contact between the bacon and the maple syrup, and it came together, and
ecstasy.
Something just clicked. I'm thinking, wow, how come I didn't know this before?
So food is better than sex.
Well, I was certainly getting a lot more of that last night.
Well, if you find out, you know, an interesting new sexual position or a new interesting, I don't know, anything more exciting, like Jack had an epiphany with food, you know, so if you have an epiphany with sex, it's just as great. But because, you know, we rarely have epiphanies with sex other than, you know, ooh, sex with men is better.
It's like the fusion of peanut butter to jelly.
Oh,
and the combination
yes.
of chocolate to
Amen.
Milk.
Chocolate to what?
Chocolate to milk.
Ah, I thought you said cheese. Juice. I'm like, what are you, what? No.
Chocolate cheese.
No.
Come on, that would work quite well.
Well, they do have chocolate cheesecake, I guess.
Second thing that I learned is that when somebody tells you to not watch the movie Twilight, don't watch the movie Twilight.
This is another thing I taught. Wow, I'm just becoming a daddy in my older ages.
Let the force speak. Do not watch Twilight.
I'm not all that much into sappy romantic films, but the fact that it kind of took everything that was cool about vampires and watered it down to some insipid, dumb mm-hmm. love story.
If you want to watch a vampire movie, watch Lost Boys. Best vampire film ever.
And I thought that a lot of the cinematography was completely pretentious, that everyone's saying, oh, everybody's beautiful in the film. Everybody's beautiful. Well, it's sorry, that doesn't quite work for me. It kind of came off more like a for TV series along the same line as the Sarah Connor Chronicles, where it's not trying to be anything more than just fluff that doesn't have anything to do with canon. And I'm trying to think that Twilight is like the Sarah Connor Chronicles of vampire novels.
But let me just interject a very quick question, Jack. What if Twilight was a cub love story? Would you have enjoyed it then?
It's interesting. I tend to be able to call out insipidly dumb dialogue, whether it's between ladies or males or lady males and... Like, well, I'm gonna.
So, if the script was the same but the characters were changed, you'd still call it crap.
Well, I'm sure that because it was a gay story, Hollywood would call it brilliant gay vampires. It's been done. But I'm going to look at you in the eyes with my gorgeous vampire eyes. I'm going to say, Ryan, you're my own personal heroine.
Is that a line from Twilight?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. Wow. I feel so embarrassed for the screenwriter right now. Wow. Shakespeare would be so pissed off right now going, why didn't I put that in there? Much Ado About Heroin, I'm sure he would have changed the play too.
I'm pretty sure just trying to find romantic things, like the radio station in the background had, whoa, catch that buzz, love is a drug I'm thinking of. And the third thing that I learned is that when you put a call out for people for suggestions about how to make a large amount, or how to get more money, on the side that is, everybody, particularly gay people, just jump straight to prostitution.
It's because we're very sexually minded. That's why. That's all. If you were serious, you can always go on eBay or something like that.
Yes. For sale. Jack. Quantity. One.
Buy now.
Buy it now or to the highest bidder.
Mm. You get free steak knife. And a copy of Twilight.
They must be desperate to try and keep me or get rid of me. I'm not quite too sure. But it was actually rather interesting because during a sex, gender and diversity class, we had last year, we had a speaker coming in from like the National Union of Prostitutes, who was pretty much talking about how great it was to be a prostitute and how everyone... It was pretty much like a recruiting drive for art students. I'm thinking, So... I want to be able to say that I'm the innocent little cub around here.
I've seen you out and about. I've seen you drunk. You are not innocent.
Oh. But I'd do that for free.
You get plastered for free. Your innocence comes as a price. Yes, I get it now. Okay.
Last week, or last episode, should I say, I made some rather controversial comments.
What did you do?
Comments, please. It was a frickin' one-sided debate.
It wasn't one-sided.
What did you say?
I pretty much made the argument that leather and related kink communities have a tendency of being both classist and ageist.
Mmm.
And we've received a couple of emails in response from people who happen to feel differently to how I do.
And first of all, thank you to actually replying to us through our email, podcast@thecubbyhouse.net.au.
Now, before I begin, I'd like to say that I've asked a few people around the place, and this is my own very biased sample of things, but it seems as though some people agree, some people disagree with what I said. I'd like to use this space to try and express some of the underrepresented opinions that are around the place. Alright, the first one is from Mike, also known as Riot Cub, who appeared a couple of episodes ago. I believe that was number 14 and 14A. He says, "Hi guys, I was just listening to the latest podcast and you raised some points I really felt needed further addressing. Some things were stated that weren't examined very well, or in some cases, not at all. I made a comment that fetish gear is supposed to symbolize that you're not quite right, that you're demented and that you don't quite fit in." He says, "The point of fetish is not to display that the wearer is not quite right or demented, probably in some cases yes, but is not the common point underlying the wearing of leather and other fetish wear. Fetish wear can run from the gamut from a military uniform to pup gear to a necklace. Fetish gear can be used to symbolize or externalize a person's sense of power or a dynamic between people." Alright, I said, "The fascination and attraction towards leather is a socially constructed and reinforced one." Now, I think that this is the major point that he was trying to get at. "I don't understand your point here. You are suggesting that this makes fetish negative or illegitimate. Leather is eroticized by different groups of people extending beyond the gay male community. If there is been no input from outside sources, it is possible that someone may see a person in a harness or chaps and find the appearance appealing purely based on visual cues. I remember that my first glances of men in leather and bondage elicited a thrill in me different to the sight of a naked male form. Had I been socialized to find men wearing small straps of cow or hide erotic at the age of 14, what about other people who found themselves excited by being tied up during games of cowboys and Indians or cops and robbers, who fantasized about being put in their place by teachers? I'm not arguing that such kinks are inherent from birth. I'm questioning if kink, which may have been developed over time, is somehow wrong because it's not inherent."
Yeah, I'd agree with that. It's you, through your own experiences, different things can turn you on or turn you off.
Now, the point that I was trying to make with this particular case is that I personally am not attracted to leather. Although I do notice that other people tend to treat me more favorably whenever I do seem to wear leather. So the positive response that I get makes me believe that at least attraction is a bit of a socially constructed one. Now, you don't necessarily have to believe that. That's my two cents.
Could also be the circles in which you walk.
But I also believe heavily in the nature-nurture sort of debate. It's what you've grown up in. It's what you're used to. Also, there could be a sense of rebellion and things like that. This is a really stupid analogy, but I mean, look, for example, Bon Jovi. When he was a kid, he always had really short haircuts because his father was a hairdresser. And then when he made it as a pop star, bang, huge long hair. So it could be exactly the same thing. Your parents were very sort of, you know, upper class, very snobby sort of things. So it could just be one of those things. But I mean, I think personally, that's a very small minority group of people that would do that. I think people just genuinely enjoy the smell, the taste, the feel of leather.
Also, another major point that Daniel Kennett from Melbourne also makes a point of is how I said that the high price of leather excludes people that don't necessarily have so much money. He says at the end of his leather can be expensive and there's a good reason for it. Most of the leather gear you buy in Melbourne retail stores are made from high-grade Australian leather that is one of the best leathers in the world. Being Australian-made naturally incurs a higher production cost in the case of most goods. Purchasing from a retail store also costs more, but it means that you'll be able to try before you buy, blah blah blah. Serious leather men want to make the best and only the best, and can see the long-term, quote, investment, unquote, they are making from the making and the associated benefits.
Which is exactly what I was trying to say as well. The fact that it's not only a higher quality product, but to actually craft it into what you would normally wear is a very precise and very rarely taught skill.
He also points out the difference between leather men and leather bears. While they sound alike, there is a world of difference between the two. A leather bear is someone who adopts the fundamentals of the bear community and enjoys wearing leather. Bears are open, easygoing, and welcoming folk and aren't governed by a strict set of rules, roles, and regulations. Well, that's arguable. If you feel like a bear, if you want to be a bear, then you can be. Bear, cub, daddy, call yourself whatever you want. When you are a leather man, it's a different story, with bondage, master-slave, trainer, pup, and master.
Master Boy into the mix, it's clear that the leather community is more structured and in some ways stricter makeup. To be blunt, leather bears are essentially less fierce and have the best of both worlds, which has created a slight rift in the leather community. Groups of leather-clad men who go to Den Night and those who don't, and a few people who that mingle in between. Other important thing is that a lot of leather men hate hair. And it's been suggested on countless occasions that I lose my beard and body hair.
We'll be talking about that a bit later on in the podcast. So those are a few unrepresented points of view, and part of our Joy 94.9 mission statement is to provide some space for underrepresented points of view. So thank you for sending in your emails. I must admit that I was a bit fired up at that particular time. I didn't quite make my case quite as eloquently as I could, but there are certain elements that I do stand by, and they're not necessarily bad things, but they're just opinions that I hold.
And I can say that your hair was a flaming red that night, and now it's a nice strawberry blonde.
I could be a difference in the lighting in here.
Sure it is.
I'm going blonde.
You're becoming more ditzy.
Now, ethically, we are asking, if you had a friend that was playing with someone who you knew had an STI and you were concerned whether they knew or not, should you step in and say something or not? And if so, how do you think the best way to go about it would be?
So I take it that you're talking more in terms of herpes and HIV, not exactly gonorrhea or crabs or...
Well, yeah, and more something a little, I wouldn't say life-threatening, but definitely something that is incurable and not easily treatable. So things like your hep C's, your HIV, gonorrhea, all those sorts of...
Well, herpes is one of those forms because once you've got it, that's it. It's like cold sores. That's a form of herpes, so it's untreatable. Well, both of you know me well enough to say that I don't mince words. If I knew a friend of mine was getting into a situation like that, of course I'd step in, I'd say something. But I mean, at the end of the day, it's their own decision. I mean, you know, I don't mean to put this in extreme sort of terms, but I mean, if they're going to choose an hour of pleasure over their entire life, then that's their decision. There are people that are bug chasers, for example, and that's something that it's their own decision. You know, we can't step in. I mean, once they've made their mind up, that's it. They just do what they want to do. What about yourself, Jack? What would you do?
First of all, you probably would find that word does tend to spread around. I mean, first of all, how do you in particular know how this person got infected with what he or she has? And you probably would find that there's a lot of related things going around. I mean, it depends on how responsible this person is being known to be when it comes to partners. I mean, of the HIV positive people that I know, they are meticulous. Is that the correct word? Meticulous?
Meticulous is very sort of pedantic sort of thing.
Yes, they are very meticulous to make sure none of their partners come to any harm. And over the time that they develop strategies in order to have a fulfilling sexual relationship without putting any harm or pressure onto partners. And I think that's the only fair thing that really can happen. Unless this person is completely callous, in which case it's probably reason enough to say, A, bad situation, because it's not love.
No.
It's not love to share, at least not that kind of sharing.
I mean, of course, we always scream, you know, play safe and all that sort of stuff. And I mean, I must admit, I'm HIV negative. I've played with HIV positive guys before and always used a condom, always been safe, and I'm still HIV negative. So, I mean, it is possible.
Yes.
But, you know, absolutely... I don't know. I had a point, but I'll shut my cake hole now. Cookie, we haven't heard from you. You say something.
Like you, Ryan, I've also played with HIV positive people, and it's one of those things that they've always been upfront about it before anything happens, which I've always respected them for, because it's kind of like, okay, that's not a problem. Let's just make sure we're safe about it. We go in correct strategies about avoiding any blood contact, particularly. And it's more important, more so than just using a condom. It's because I get into other things like fisting and all that sort of stuff, it adds a new dimension of danger to what it could happen. Because if you haven't got your nails cut or you've got a sharp nail, you can cut gloves, you can cut skin very easily. So it's one of those things that I've always been pretty pedantic about, especially when doing that level of play. But on the flip side, I've actually had some people who haven't mentioned it until after the fact, and then have used the rebuttal, well, it says you're negative on your profile. And it made me stop and think after they'd said that, is it such a good thing to have your status on a profile as, you know, positive, negative? More so if you're negative. If you're positive, it's there, you can't change it. But if you're negative, if say if you do become positive in between and you haven't updated it, is it still wise to go on that information?
Well, I think an important thing about that is that having that included in profiles is not just for HIV negative people. It's also a way of HIV positive people coming together in a way that there's an element of commonality.
Yeah, but it's more so the using of it as a defense.
But I think that if you didn't have it on a profile, then you'd have a lot of cases where everyone would just assume that you're negative. Yeah. But on this particular subject, it's very much with a head in the clouds kind of thing that you can be very nice and pious and say, I'd interject, but what if it were a case where this person were deeply and madly and irrefutably in love with this particular person, and that trying to interject would perhaps jeopardize your own relationship with this person?
I'd still say something.
Yeah, so would I. For me personally, because love can blind rationality, for one, and you're trying to look out for their best interest, not your own.
Mm.
So I would definitely still speak up and just ask them the question whether they have discussed it or not. What the end result is none of my business, but the fact that it has been discussed and agreed upon and it has been thought out and it's not just an assumed thing that was never discussed, that would be my concern. What their choice is beyond that, I still wouldn't say too much. I'd be concerned, but if that's what they truly desired to do, then I would not pursue the issue any further.
I agree with that 100%. I'd do exactly the same thing. But if I was, you know, head over heels in love with this person, I might throw in a bit of emotional blackmail, a bit of guilt trip going, oh, well, you know, I love you more than them because I knew and I told you and they didn't say anything, so you should be with me. I wouldn't really, but, you know, it would be fun.
Can I throw in a devil's advocate and go one step further? Say you were to play with someone who was HIV positive and they were allergic to, say, a lubricant or a condom or anything that would basically not allow them to have sort of some sort of sexual act with you and be safe at the same time. What would you do then?
Then we do without. I don't mean like as in barebacking. I mean as in we'd do oral or we'd kiss or we'd jerk off or something like that. We wouldn't actually do anal or something like that. I mean, I'm not going to put my morals or my scruples on the shelf purely just for a one-night stand. I mean, even if I was absolutely in love with this person, it would be the same thing. It's your health is your most important thing. You know, it's right up there with your friends and your family and all that sort of stuff. So, I mean, if you're willing to compromise your health, then by all means, go and do it. But if it were me, no, no friggin' way. Jack?
Well, I happen to think that people don't just become allergic to lubricants and rubbers overnight. At least that's not my understanding of allergies. So probably you'd find that those particular people, unless they have a habit and, dare I say, an expectancy of not using condoms, they probably would have developed strategies in order to have a fulfilling sexual life without putting other people in jeopardy. Our new podcast slogan should be, friends don't let friends sleep with bug spreaders. Yeah, yay.
I thought it was you don't make friends with salad, but anyway.
To be continued.
I feel down now.
Oh, well, let's talk about a lighter subject then, shall we?
Oh, yes. What have we got on our whiteboard, Mr. Rhino?
Well, in the Northern Hemisphere, it's spring.
Hooray!
So what do? We do a bit of spring cleaning. And one way we can do our own spring cleaning is manscaping.
Yeah, that's a buzzword I think we could all do without.
Well, I, for myself, I've got a pair of clippers and I do a bit of manscaping. I wouldn't dare have them touch my chest, for example, but I do shave other parts.
Like?
Well, my face. I keep my beard on a number 6. If I'm feeling a bit energetic, I'll let my best friend attack my hair with the clippers. But
on top of your head, yes?
Yes, yes, yes. I can reach the other bits by myself.
All of them?
All of them. I am very flexible.
Ooh. We are going to have a demonstration tonight.
We're going to have a video as well.
Oh, awesome. But yeah, I do shave down there. Like, I don't shave, but I
please,
do clipper.
Please use technical terms. We're not like a commercial that shows on, like, primetime television or anything like that.
Great, we'll get the paired egg out, shall we?
You can actually see the skin collect at the bottom of the thing. It's like a cheese grater for your foot.
It is a cheese grater for your foot. Okay, I use clippers on my pubes, on my bush, on whatever you want to call it. That's what I use it for. I don't go crazy because I think a bit of hair there is sexy, and I don't understand people who shave everything down there. I don't get it. But there's nothing more... Well, there are quite a few things worse, but it's just... When you go down on a guy, you don't want to floss. So, I think it's polite to sort of just mow the lawn every now and then if it's getting a bit sort of, you know, get the weed whacker out and bang, done.
Now, Cookie, you're a particularly hirsute fellow, so I'd imagine that this is an issue that is on your mind quite a bit.
Well, it is. Not necessarily in the regions of which Ryan has mentioned so far. Anything above the neckline is very much tailored and quite often suited to either my job or the application which it's put under.
Cookie, the neckline is just below your chin. I think you're referring to anything above
your collarbone.
Your collarbone.
Yeah. Okay.
Otherwise, you'd have like a big bushy neck and a tailored beard just below it.
Okay.
In rephrase, Cookie is indeed not a Wookiee.
Yeah.
Only a cousin of the said.
Anything that's above the collar line is normally tailored and suited for the job.
Sorry, I was just giggling because if you put cousin and Wookiee together, you get Cookie. Ah! Oh, that was funny. Ah.
I laughed. You can't flag that one.
And you're laughing too. You just don't want to make loud noises.
Bad as freaking Cookie Monster.
I didn't call you that. Anyway, please continue.
You shouldn't have laughed. I so wanted to flag him.
I thought it was funny. I didn't even make the pun. That's not lame. You are.
Lame.
Whatever.
Anything above the car.
It means above the cookie.
Flag!
You can't flag me just because you're pissed off.
What was it, number five?
You're abusing your power.
Didn't exist.
It was five.
It was not five. Oh, I was going to put it in my crutch, then I realised, no, you're going to go for it anyway.
Yeah, I will. Just once these microphones are off. Anything above the collar line is tailored to the job I do.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be kept short, neat and tidy. I'm in public, rah, rah. Anything below the collar line has not seen the light of a clipper ever. It has only ever had to see the feel of wax once.
Something that you wouldn't recommend doing again, or...?
I did it purely to eliminate my crabs I was having trouble dealing with. So I went to a near full body wax to eliminate where I had to treat.
So it wasn't that you saw a master who wanted to wax you and get rid of your body hair.
I wouldn't mind being waxed if I had a surfboard chest or surfboard abs.
Something that you'd feel proud to show off.
Yeah, exactly. With my body shape, I think hair is the way to go. I do, however, have an issue with my butt crack.
What's wrong with your butt crack?
It's too hairy for its application.
Oh, you get hair? You get shit caught in your fur?
No, I get constantly stabbed by new growth hairs.
Oh.
And I get an itchy ass all the time.
Picking your seat.
So, yeah, that's my kind of issue with manscaping.
So, do you do anything about your ass, or...?
Not yet. This is where I'm kind of wondering. To use clippers would leave thick ends.
Mm-hmm.
I can't wax because it's too sensitive an area.
Yeah.
Plucking would just take time, and I'm sure somebody who'd love to eat my ass would go plucking for hours, but that's not the point. What other alternatives is there to deal with such a sensitive area?
But as far as... That's what you do, but what do you prefer other people would do? What would be the courteous thing or the attractive thing?
For me, I'd like to just kind of wax a little larger area around my butt. Not the whole butt, just the inner areas of the butt.
If you can get Brazilians, women go and get their pussy waxed, so I can't see why you can't get your ass waxed.
The back sack and crack?
Mm.
But you didn't quite answer the question.
What have I done?
What would you prefer other people do to themselves?
What would I prefer other people?
What is attractive?
Well, to me, both hairy and non is attractive. For me personally, I like a nice tuft of chest hair, at least. As far as the butt goes, which has probably been my only other preference, I do like a smoother butt over a hairier butt. But
What in the butt?
Exactly. I will not say no to a hairy butt either. It's just...
Preference.
Mm. I like a hairy body, and I like a smooth body, and I like everything in between. Certain areas I like less hairy than others, but really doesn't faze me. It's a question of, does the hair suit the body?
Oh, Cookie, you're so non-discriminating.
I know.
What about you, Jack? Do you actually do any manscaping?
No, not really, because the thing about that is that you've actually got to let the hair grow in before you can actually mow it down.
Mm.
So I think the seeds have been planted, so ask me again in about 2-3 years' time.
Awesome.
So I was just thinking about something growing in before you mow it down. I was thinking horror film there. You got to let the baby grow before you can mow it down.
Ah, okay.
Ew.
That's funny. Before I was ready to flag you, but now I just want to hit you.
I'm going to turn to the side for that one, so I didn't have to look at you hit at him.
So you don't actually do any manscaping yourself other than your beard?
Yes, that's right.
Okay. And what about on men or boys or guys?
Well, I don't know. I can say what I find attractive, which is a bit of something to hang on to. So
you want longer hair?
Yes, that's right. So in the front and in sometimes in the back, it depends.
Mm-hmm.
It makes it a bit more difficult to try and massage a hairy back, but I'm not particularly fussed.
Mm.
So I don't have an awful lot to contribute.
Oh.
The end.
Well, personally, the hairier the better. I love hair. I used to have a massive crush on a bloke that I used to work with when I worked at a smash repair shop. Or to those people that aren't familiar with it, like a body panel shop where you fix cars that have been smashed. And he was forever wearing like overalls and singlets and things like that, or wife beaters. And he had a very hairy back. And I used to just sit there and watch and dream and melt and drool. Oh, he had more hair on his back than I did on my head. Oh, I was in heaven. So the hairier the better. I mean, I agree, you know, with ingrown hairs and things like that. I personally don't get them, so I'm quite fortunate in that area. You bastard.
But I suppose that a trimmed beard is probably better than a crap one.
It really depends on the guy. I mean, for example, Dan, who we were talking about before, Daniel Kennett, he's got a very long sort of beard, and it actually does suit him. But I've never really been attracted to guys with long beards. I don't know. I guess it just depends on the person. I mean, I like Cookie. You know, if the guy's smooth, so be it. I'm more attracted to the person than the body hair. But I'm certainly going to go wolf over a guy with a beard or a goatee or a mo than a clean-shaven guy. But that's just me. I'm biased. I like hair. I like it everywhere. Maybe that could be Dr. Seuss's next book.
Shoulder length or longer. Here, mama, there, bama. Everywhere, daddy, daddy hair.
I don't know if I'd do a guy with long hair. I used to have long hair.
We've got mail.
Yay! We love mail.
This one comes from Reese. Hey, Cubs of the Cubby House, I'd like to say that you guys are honking hilarious. Can you put in a sound effect? Can we say fuck? Let's just say fuck. I'd like to say you guys are F dash...
Hash.
Asterisk. Divide...
percentaging. Schools, the education system is failing you, Jack.
Right, #asterisk percentaging hilarious. I was crying by the end of the first two episodes. Cookie, quote unquote, you are the moral center of the three. Go figure.
Thank you. I cannot believe you were quoted as the moral figure of us. You're the most moral corrupt person I know. Well, not moral, just corrupt, I think.
No, he's got something to say about you, Ryan.
Ooh.
Ryan, quote unquote, you are a funny as man. You're here, there, and everywhere. Don't change.
Well, I am funny, and I don't intend on changing.
And finally, Jack, quote unquote. Jack. Thumbs up, Jack. Lol.
Is that a new game? Thumbs up, Jack.
Ooh. You may have invented it. I so wish you guys had a full morning show with call-ins and all, and that would be awesome. Who the hell says awesome anyway? Lol. I hope you guys keep this up for a long time to come. But a couple of questions. When does a cub stop being a cub and start being a bear? This is mainly pointing to, quote, Ryan, unquote, for, well, you know, you're close to a, quote, bear, unquote, girl, lol.
Well, we kind of discussed about, you know, the whole cub graduating to a bear sort of thing in episode, like, 9 or something like that.
Right about.
So, I don't know, I guess it's just to the point where you grow up. I'm learning. Last night I got called that I said that I have daddy tendencies, and now I'm like, fuck, it's true. Now I realize, yeah, I'm getting older. So
yep. You're becoming your papa.
I'm becoming a bear. Oh, it's freaking me out.
Hey, is that we've got to change the name of the program, do we?
Two cubs and a bear, not a chance.
The two cubs and a bear house.
The cub bear house.
Or Ryan in the big cub house.
He also says, I know guys who are in their late 30s, mid-40s, who still consider themselves cubs, quote-unquote, which they do look the part a bit, and having the whole hairy body, cute face, and so on. So I guess the question is it the age that defines bears from cubs, or do you think you'll stay as cubs, quote-unquote, or go over to the bear side?
I think it's mainly an age thing. It also can be, I mean, there's also the tendency where a bear is the top and the cub is the bottom sort of thing, so you could be a 60-year-old cub. I don't know. I guess it's just a more of a mentality / look thing.
Mm-hmm. It can be. It's also a perception. One tops, one bottoms, one submissive, one passive. It depends, and I suppose the roles aren't clear cut, and they can change at any time depending on the circumstances. Really, It's like, do you say they're your partner or your wife or your husband? It's circumstantial.
I love the term husbear. People don't like it. I do.
And?
How impersonal is too impersonal? With the internet becoming the main way for people to meet up, is the day of going and really meeting the person behind the photo becoming extinct? Why are we so willing to chat but not talk? Where will it go to next? No contact to the person, just a webcam and good lube?
Well, we've kind of covered this one before. We talk a lot about Facebook and individualization and various other big words.
Twitter
as well.
Do you know, I actually heard a fascinating fact on the radio the other day.
What?
60% of people that start up a Twitter account usually don't use it again in the next 2 weeks. Ever. 60%.
Yay. Nice percentage.
Maybe they think that, hey, I better be onto something. When they kind of get onto it, they kind of think, yeah.
But that is the way of the internet these days. Things start up and things close down and all fade away pretty quickly. And I'm still waiting to see the internet evolve to the level that Futurama has gone, where it's it's visual, three-dimensional, like interactive world sort of. I reckon that's where it's going to end up eventually, where it's all a digital world that we just walk into. And
it already is a digital world that we walk into. It's a conceptual space. But yes, we've already kind of covered that, you know, previous episodes. We talk about Facebook quite a bit, but Mr. Reese, you can start a trend by actually going out and meeting people. That's the only way that you can stop this trend. You can't complain on the internet about how much time you're spending on the internet.
If you're not on the internet.
Well, it makes you a hypocrite, I suppose. But the internet is the only way that you can get the Cubby House podcast, so it's not all bad.
Well, that's exactly right. And what are our details, Jack?
Well, you can find us online at http://... Yes. www.thecubbyhouse.net.au. But if you're already subscribed, you probably don't really need those kind of details.
No.
But you can email at us at podcast@thecubbyhouse.net.au, or you can email us individually with Cookie@thecubbyhouse, Ryan@thecubbyhouse, and me, Jack@thecubbyhouse.
It's just Jack@thecubbyhouse, not me, Jack@thecubbyhouse, yes. For all those listeners.
But you can find all those details on the contact page of the website. Also, we have a Skype line, which is starting to gather a bit of dust.
Yes, it's 9005PLAY. Please do give us a call, because we would love to hear your lovely voices.
And then we can put you on the radio. Yay!
Now, speaking of people who we've had on the radio, we've already had Jeff from the Cubs Out Loud podcast. Speaking of other podcasts, we've just received a message through our website from John of Bears in the City, guys. And if you'd like to check them out, they're bearsinthecity.com.au. And John's just said, just wanted to say what a great podcast this is. I really enjoyed the last episode. So thank you very much, John.
Thanks, John. And thank you, Reese.
Yes. So we'll probably be looking at getting somebody from the Bears in the City onto this podcast in the next few episodes.
We can dream.
Now, speaking of other podcasts again, there's been a bit of a running gag between Monsieur Rhino and Griff from the Cubs Out Loud. And he hasn't been here for the last few episodes, so we're going to play to Ryan right now the last message Griff has sent to him through the Cubs Out Loud podcast.
I was saying Ryan Cubs a very bad boy because he doesn't listen to the Cubs Out Loud every week, and he better start listening. I don't want to have to come down to Melbourne and discipline you like I should.
said something about balls before.
Balls, maybe. Maybe like he should lick my balls. Yeah, you want that, don't you, boy? Get down there and lick my fucking balls now.
Ryan. Response.
I just did. Oh, that was funny. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. That was funny. Response. Wow, Griff.
Now, keep in mind, we've also now shown Ryan photos of the Griff.
Yeah, Griff, you're fucking hot, man. Jeez, damn, I would so lick your balls. Fuck yeah. So, definitely come down to Melbourne, and you can try and fucking discipline me. I'm 6'3" tall, so you'll have fun trying to do that. That was funny. Wow. That was, like, the best compliment I think I've had all this year. I'm bad for not listening to a podcast. I need to be disciplined and lick some cubs' balls.
Maybe we could organize that Cookie could act as the Griff's proxy.
And we're taping that, are we?
Yes, that could be the next Dare Challenge or something like that.
So, first video goes on YouTube, the next one goes on XTube.
Yes! God damn it.
We'll work through the alphabet.
It's a pretty big gap.
U, X.
U and X. Misa dum dum.
The education system is failing you. I tell you.
Just another brick in the wall, I tells ya.
We don't need no education.
Damn.
We don't need no thought control. Sorry, I really like Pink Floyd. That was funny, Griff. That was really funny. Yeah. If you come down to Melbourne, hell yeah, we're going to get you on the show and I'll take you out for a drink and I'll show you Melbourne and stuff. But yeah, don't, if we hook up and we play and stuff, don't do that stuff because that would be my response. I would just start wetting myself laughing. Oh, how romantic. Put in a Hallmark card or something at the very least.
Do we have any other shout outs for this episode?
I'll do a quick shout out to Stephen. He's a bloke that I work with and he's been enjoying the Cubby House. So g'day, Stephen. Thank you for listening. Quick shout out to Mike in Sydney. He's been giving me lots of feedback and saying that he's enjoying the show. A very, very, very quick plug, being committee member of Vic Bears. Hibernation is coming up soon. So if you haven't got your tickets, if you want to actually be a contestant, please, please, please contact us on the Vic Bears website, which is, you know, vicbears.org.au.
Just be careful because you'll be contesting against me.
Well, that's true.
This is your official announcement that you're participating in the competition.
Exactly it is. Woo-hoo! The paperwork has been filled.
And I am actually running some of the events, like the underwear parties, so...
Ooh. Ooh. What do you know about underwear?
I know. How funny is that? How ironic. I don't wear underwear, and I'm organising an underwear party.
Is that an implication for something, I wonder?
No, I was actually thinking of other things that I could rock up as, like a dressing gown, because, you know, then I don't have to wear anything beneath it. And because it's going to be in winter, I'll be fucking cold.
No, do a kilt.
That was one of my next suggestions, a kilt, but they're, like, the cheapest I've found is $400. And
yikes.
Yeah, I might as well just get, like, a netball skirt or something. And my next one, which is probably my likely possibility... You can laugh. It's okay. I am funny.
I'm just thinking you in a nipple skirt. Hell no.
I'll get one of those large bibs with the letter C on it or something and write, you know, UNT next to it. Or, I don't know, something. But I'll probably just wear pajamas just to piss people off. I saw these really cool Space Invaders pajamas. I'm like, hell yes.
You know, one of the underwear parties that I went to, I was had like Felix the Cat sat in boxer shorts. And I felt like I was sticking out like a thorn in a lion's paw.
It was Saturn. It was reflecting light, enough said.
Yay!
Always got to be the center of attention.
It just happened to be the undies that I had on at the time. And they just happened to have a comic book character on it. And they did happen to be cute. On me. So, have you got any plans, have you got any strategies worked out for this year's Southern Hibernation now that you're competing in it?
Yeah, I'm going to ask you what I'm now looking forward to.
What are you looking forward to?
Don't tell me now. Tell me after.
Tell you after you've competed what you're looking forward to?
Oh, I get it now. Don't be fucking rolling your eyes. I wasn't picking up what you were putting down either. It's called English. Use it. Have you got any shout-outs, Cookie? Paging new subject.
No, I'd just like to say a big thank you to all the guests we've had previously on the Cubby House who keep asking me when am I going to be coming back. Definitely in time we shall get you back for another episode. Big shout out to Chloe, who I've now since introduced to the gay clubs.
Ooh.
Yeah, so we mentioned Chloe in a previous episode. Just showing her what it's like to be on the other side of the fence, almost. And just a big shout out to everybody who does listen to the Cubby House and of those who we've had a look at and listened to the debate that we had at the Laird Hotel.
Ooh, that was fun.
Yes, last weekend. We will be planning to do another one sometime in August.
And a big shout out to all the people at the Laird and Vic Bears and all the people during the debate who made it all happen.
Yay. A big thank you. So, some websites to give out. There's the Vic Bears, www.vicbears.org.au. Mm-hmm. There is also Bears in the City, which is www.bearsinthecity.com.au, and Cubs Out Loud.
But don't worry, all these links are on a website and on the blog anyway.
So. Yeah, so if you'd like to go to all the ones I'm about to mention, check out our website, www.thecubbyhouse.net.au.
Any shout-outs for you, Jack?
Yes, I have a shout-out, and I've got to say that we need to, all the people that dislike Twilight in the world, need to come together and organize.
It's like 97% of the world population.
Only you can start Twilight fires.
So, you know what you do? You hold their eyes open and you play it on rerun until they say, I like Twilight. It's torture, but I love it.
Do you know what we should be doing? We should be going to like Borders or something and taking like the hard, like the paper jacket off the Bible and putting it on Twilight.
And on that note, this is Cookie.
This is Ryan.
And I'm Jack.
And we are the Cubby House. Thank you so much for episode 6, sweet 16.
We are thankful for the place that we've had in your ears for about the past 45 to 50 minutes.
Yeah.
And I'm just about to go invade that space in Ryan's pants.
Boo! That's baggable.
It's equally as waxy, so enjoy.
Cubby House was made in conjunction with Joy 94.9. For more podcasts, check out joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.